One more thing I want to do before we get into the message. If I could get just a couple of my ushers to come help me out here for just a minute. And I want to get these hang on to these for just a second. But I want to get these. This is a message that Dad did about 20 years ago for mothers, and it's only about 20 minutes long, but I want to get this to all the mothers who still have children at home. All right, so if you have children at home still, just raise your hand. If you still got children at home, children grown and gone, we put it on the website too, so you can listen there, but I want to get a copy to all those. You've got children still at home, and most of these guys will know, but just raise your hand, and we'll get those to y'all, and we'll get them up in the balcony too for those that still have children at home, and get you a copy of that. And then what we'll do, men, once you get all those out, any extra copies you have, just put on the table out there, and y'all can, if you didn't get one, you can grab one on your way out. But just take about 20 minutes to listen to that, and all of those are good, but thought that'd be good for you to have on Mother's Day for those that still have children at home. And then also, let me mention this. We went through our prayer request and did that earlier. But pray for Miss Jackie Rose and Brother Robert and the family. And of course, most of y'all know her mother, Ms. Weinberger, passed away last Sunday night, and they had the service on Thursday. But that's difficult any time when you lose mom, but especially the week of Mother's Day, and of course. I think Ms. Weinberger was 93 years old and just had a great life. And I remember she'd be sitting right down front here. But just pray for Brother Robert and Ms. Jackie and their family during this time, difficult time. Like I say, anytime you lose mom. And yeah, just put it on the table out there when you're all done. But pray for Ms. Jackie and the family as well as others and some of you as we just prayed for that have moms in heaven as well. All right, good. Brother Jason has been running around, so he's going to grab his Bible and come up here and read the scripture for us this morning.
All right, let's turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs chapter 29. Man, what a great day to be in God's house and to celebrate moms. We were looking this morning, we did a little Sunday school lesson out of Proverbs 31, and you know, I was telling them, I said, you know, this ministry's not here without my mom. And I'm, you know, so appreciative. My dad was saying, and a good woman takes a man higher. It's been said many, many times. And just so appreciate my mom in deciding to do what's right. And that's helped shape my life and hopefully my kids' life. And just so appreciate and the place that, and I so appreciate too, I'm sure you do it. If you came to this church and we didn't have the same things going on, it wouldn't be the same, right? And I'm so glad that that we started a long time ago and Dad started and had a vision for that. And man, and I think about his mother and taking him to church when he was and putting that thought and starting that thought and then him remembering that later on. It's how powerful a mother is. You know, the Bible says, that her children arise up and call her blessed. You know what? Corporate America doesn't rise up and call her blessed. Her children do. Her children do. And that's because they know her, because they've seen her, and because they know how she is. And so appreciate my mother and, again, all the mothers here. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 15 says this, "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame." Let's pray. God, we thank you, Lord, for this place. God, what a wonderful day you've given us, a wonderful Mother's Day, Lord. And Lord, I can't help but think about last year at this time, Lord God. And my guess is, Lord, there's quite a few moms that may not be around, Lord. And I think about this is a hurtful time and a hard time, Lord. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that Lord, you've seen fit, Lord, to get us through a specifically hard time. Lord, still more to go. But God, we praise you for this Mother's Day in 2021. And Lord, just the place that you've given us here to assemble, Lord God. And Lord, we need to understand that, Lord, you're in control of all. And Jesus Christ is there on the right-hand of the throne, and God is on the throne, and God is in control of everything. And Lord, it may not appear that way at times, but Lord God, we know from your word that that's the case. And God, we thank you for mothers. Lord God, I thank you for my mom. And Lord, just the countless hours on her knees praying me in a right direction. Lord God, and Lord, to get this world back to where we need to be, we need praying mothers. We need mothers on their knees praying for their husbands, for their children. And Lord God, I thank you that I had one that did that. And Lord, I just pray that you be with this place. Lord God, that Christ would rule and reign here at Gilgrove Baptist Church. And Lord God, that we would see more mothers, Lord God, here. And Lord, we thank you for the ones that are here. Lord, be with the services today. Thank you again for mom. In Christ's name I pray, amen.
Good. Thank you, Brother Jason. Man, appreciate all those helping out today and getting the flowers out. And I appreciate Brother Jason Myers had to jump through a few extra hoops yesterday to get all those. So appreciate him getting those here for us. And then those that gave them out today. And then, of course, our music. As always, we appreciate the offertory and special by Mrs. Hayes and her choir. So thank you for all of that. And read the verse in Proverbs chapter 29, verse number 15. And Bible says there, the first part of the verse, a rod and reproof give wisdom. I know all the children in here this morning are hoping that's the text for this morning, that we're going to stay on that, on the rod and reproof giving wisdom. But that's not it, all right? That's not it, although that's a very important text, and we probably need to stay there for a little bit on the rod for some of the children here. But I want to concentrate on the second part of the verse there. The Bible says this. It says, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. You know, it's interesting that it uses the word, doesn't just use father, it uses the word mother. And this morning, not the topic, we know, you come to Mother's Day service and we're going to talk about how great mothers are, and they are. And they're so wonderful. But I look around at what's happening in our world today, and what came to mind as I read this verse again this week is this, the shame of motherhood. You say, well, there's no shame in motherhood, and there's not. But the Bible says this, that a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. You know what one of the problems, one of the main problems of our country is today? Too many children left to themselves. Too many children left to themselves. I heard this week, actually, that, and I can't remember the dates, it was in the last 30 or 40 years, where roughly 10%, this was 40, 50 years ago, whatever it may be, of children, of young mothers, were not at home with mom. And now it's up to like 40%. We're talking about young mothers. I'm not talking about with children that are grown and gone. I'm talking about with small children who are not at home with their children. And the number continues to grow. And I thought about what's happening in our society, and we see these children that are left alone. Now, before we get into it this morning, it won't take a long time this morning, but I want to clarify who I'm not speaking to this morning, or who I'm not talking about. I'm speaking to everybody who I'm not talking about. I understand this. There are single mothers who have there's nothing they can do. They have to provide. They have to take on that role of father and mother because the father's not there. By the way, that's another problem in our society. We'll say that for Father's Day, all right? But that's another problem, fathers who aren't where they're supposed to be. And so there are mothers who are single mothers who have to provide, and they have to take on a dual role. And I'm so thankful for those, and we have some of those here in our church, so thankful they're here, and what a blessing they are to this ministry. So I understand that. Also, I'm not talking about those. I think about those that work. We have our Christian school and our daycare here, and I call that the Jochebed plan. All right, that's what I call it, the Jochebed plan. You study the Bible, you know what happened. Amram and Jochebed were the parents of Moses. And what Jochebed did was she went to put Moses out there. Pharaoh's daughter ended up hiring her, and she got paid to take care of her own kid. And so we have some of those there. They teach in our Christian school. They get paid to teach their own kid. You know, they got the Jochebed plan. And so I appreciate those that do that. And they're out here with their children. They're not leaving their children at home. In fact, they're around their children. And so that's a wonderful thing. And so that's great. And I appreciate those that help out with that. And then I'm also not talking about the Proverbs 31 woman. In fact, you're there in chapter 21. Turn to Proverbs chapter 31. Because we understand this. Just because a mother's at home doesn't mean
they're never allowed to leave the house, right? I mean, it doesn't mean they're chained to the refrigerator, to the oven, to the dryer, washer and the dryer forever. They can't ever move out of the house. In fact, the Proverbs 31 woman, I love what the Bible tells us about her. Look at we'll just look at a couple verses here as by way of introduction. Look at verse number 16. It says, she considereth a field and buyeth it. Look at that, man. She considers a field and buys it. I mean, she makes some decisions. Now, she's not ruling the home at all. In fact, all through this, she's taking care of her children. She's taking care of her husband. Look down a little further. let's see. Look at verse number 24. She maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. There's a lot of work. In fact, if you read these verses, starting in verse number 10 all the way through verse 31, you get tired just reading all the work that she does. And so we're not talking about that either. It doesn't mean that mom can never ever leave the home and go anywhere. She can't go to the store. She can buy things. She can sell things. She can do all those things. But I tell you what should happen and what would change our society, the top priority of every mother should be their children and their family and their husband at home. Number one priority. And that's what we don't have in our world today. And so the Bible says this, a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. So, well, how's that happening in the homes? Well, first of all, a child that's left to himself to be cared for. As I mentioned, 40% of young mothers that drop their kids off every day. Hey, you have young children at home. Those children are just born. Those children are infants, toddlers. You need to stay home with those young children. Don't leave them to somebody else. Don't leave them to themselves. Hey, it's in our society today. Listen, you go around the world, you don't hear this very much, right? In fact, you probably don't hear it at all. But we need moms that are going to stay home with their children. God gave you that child. Man, be at home with that child. Too many children in daycare. We have a 3 and 4 year old daycare here to provide for those that are going to use it. But I would love it if that thing was empty. Because I got moms staying home with their children. Now, those that are going to, we have those in the community that drop them off. We want to provide a good place for them and they can be taught the Word of God and those things. But I'm telling you this morning, what we need is young mothers that are here that would say, hey, I'm going to stay home with my children. God's given those children. I'm going to stay home and rear those children to the glory of God. Too many children in daycare left to themselves. Now, don't get mad at me here, all right, when I say this. But too many children being raised by grandparents. Hey, mom, it's your responsibility. It's yours. It's not give it off to grandma so she can rear them. Now, there's nothing wrong with grandma keeping the kids, all right? There's nothing wrong with that. And we take advantage of that all the chances that we get to. But it's not my mom's responsibility to rear my children. It's our responsibility. Hey, I don't drop them off and say, hey, mom, I'll be back in a week and you spank them and you take care of them and you discipline them. No, it's my responsibility to take care of that. It's my wife's responsibility as a mother to take care of that. Those are our children that God has given us. And I think sometimes we have a generation that say, hey, mom, why don't you take it for us? You know, grandma will take it for us and you take on that responsibility. It's not their responsibility. God gave you those children. And so, mom, it's your responsibility. Not to leave it with grandma every day while you go to work. No, stay home with that child. Stay home with those children that God has given you and rear them. God gave them to you for a reason. I think about and appreciate the grandparents that jump in and help out, and that's a wonderful thing. I still bring to mind, I remember Mr. Hayes told the story years ago about his grandfather, and I won't go into the whole story because I don't want to bring shame upon the name of Mr. Hayes, but something they were climbing on the roof, something they weren't supposed to be doing. And his grandpa saw that. But that's interesting. His grandpa didn't discipline him. His grandpa told his dad, and his dad took care of it. And that's the way it should be. Listen, my children, if my children are with my mother or with my mother-in-law, and they're not behaving the way they should, then they should tell us, and they should know, man, they're going to get taken care of. And they will. And so it's not up to my parents to raise my children. No, God gave those children to me. Too many children in daycare. Too many children. Too many moms I'm telling you, in our world today, who would rather go to work than stay home with their children, because it's harder to stay home with their children. It's harder work. It's easier to go get your paycheck. It's easier to have your career. It's easier to get that attention you get from those around you and that appreciation, because you know what? When you stay home with your children, you don't always get that. The appreciation is great on Mother's Day. You got your homemade cards today, and that's wonderful. But not every day is Mother's Day at home, right? Not every day is. And you don't get the appreciation. And you don't get the rewards of the world, that status that you can have. And by the way, while I'm at it here, let me say this. Hey, you young husbands, hey, work two or three jobs if you have to so she can stay home. Quit trying to tell her to get your paycheck so you can have what you want and your toys that you want and spend it on what you want rather than sacrificing a little bit so she can stay home with your children. That's a shame that we'd have husbands that would make their wives, you got to go to work. You provide. You provide. And let her take care of the children. And don't worry about the status you have or the career that you have. Hey, we need mothers that would stay home. Children that are left to themselves. Hey, when those kids are gone, what does that career matter? Are those coworkers, they're going to take care of you when you're old? Huh? That's not going to happen. Hey, that what you forged, that career that you have, what is that going to matter? Boy, I think about all that my mother poured into my life. I'm so thankful. And that was a decision. That way, we can sit here and preach this morning. That's not an easy decision to make, especially in the world that's around us. But the Bible says this, a child left to himself bringeth his mother shame. A child left to himself to be cared for. Hey, get away from that job and get home. Then secondly, a child left to himself to be watched over. I fear this happens even in Christian homes, and sometimes it even happens to moms at home. A child that's left to himself to be watched over. You say, what do you mean by that? Too many children are sitting in front of the TV all day. Hey, they're sitting in front of entertainment, in front of the computer, on the internet, and they're allowed that babysitter. Hey, get them away from the television. I heard in the last couple weeks the average age that a child gets a phone is 7 years old. Get the phone out of their hands. And quit letting the phone watch those children. No, those children will be watched by you. Hey, get the video games out of their hands. And they don't need to be sitting there. I've got a 5-6-year-old with a phone in front of them playing a video game. Get it out of their hands, man. Hey, don't leave that to bring them up and to watch over them. That's our responsibility. And as a mom, your responsibility. And understand, listen, we've got 4 children of our own. I can't, trying to keep track of all of them all the time is not easy. Trying to remember their names at my age is not easy, all right? That's a little difficult. But God gave them to us, and it's not up to the television, it's not up to the phone, it's not up to the video games to watch them. I still remember a young man that was, I think a good young man had made some good spiritual decisions, and this was, years and years and years ago. In fact, it was so long ago, the internet was a new thing, all right? That's how long ago it was. And I remember, and just the decisions that his mom made, and not all those were in her control. Some of those were out of her control. But there may have been a couple things that she could have done differently. But I remember, I'd just been youth pastor here a very, very short time and dealt with him, a good young person, on fire for God, I thought, and tell you, he got left home a lot. And this is the early days of the internet. And started doing some things on there. And I'm telling you, his life, because he got left by himself, he went so far away. I'm telling you, that was so involved in spiritual things. And at the point that last I heard, not just that he wasn't in church anymore. No, he was proclaiming himself to be an agnostic, atheist, whatever. And it all started because he got left by himself too much. In front of that internet, in front of that television, whatever it may be. Hey, don't leave them to be watched over by something else. And then, third thing I think we see in our society today, a child left to himself to make his own decisions. You say, well, what do you mean by that? Hey, you know what? My children, they don't get to decide whether we go to church or not. We're going to church. By the way, let's go ahead and make the decision now. Hey, make a decision now. Say, man, I want to rear good children. I want to have them. Hey, well, why not have them back on Sunday night, Wednesday night, right? I mean, what is it that you're doing with your children that's so important, that's more important than the house of God? In this day and age, I mean, you would think what we're dealing with, we've seen in the last year, this pandemic, and we've seen all the craziness that's in our world. I mean, even more than ever, don't we need the house of God? Why would we want to be there? Hey, get them in God's house. Hey, what's more important that you're doing? What do you have going on tonight that's more important than having your children sitting in God's house? And have them in church. Have them around spiritual things and say, well, I don't like this church. Find one you like. Find a good one and get there. All right? And have them in the house of God, around the things of God. Hey, choose their influences, their friends, their activities. And listen, understand, as they grow older, they're going to be teenagers, and that balance there of trying to help them make their own decisions as well. But I'm telling you this morning, when they're in your house, hey, it shouldn't be they're deciding what they bring in the house. No, you set the rules. You set the rules as to what comes in and to who comes in and to what influences there around you. Young people, have them at the camps and the conferences where they could hear the preaching of the Word of God. And as we mentioned already, the entertainment. Those say, hey, it shouldn't be the kids have their music they're listening to. No, the kids' music is what I'm listening to. Okay? Now, they may like some things, some kids' songs, but I'm talking about the thing. I'm not letting them bring the things of the world in my home. I'm not doing that. I'm not allowing that music of the world that somebody tries to influence them with. I'm not allowing that to come to my home. No, I don't want to let them make, oh, they're going to make their decision on that. I'm going to let them choose on that. They're 12 years old. No. No, I'm going to dictate that. Say, hey, here's what we're going to do. And I'm going to try to do that with the right spirit. And like my own dad did, dad didn't just tell us, hey, here's what we're going to do, and you just have to like it. No, he explained it to us. Now, he didn't do that when we were 3 years old, all right? He said, you do it, all right? 5 years old, 6 years old, 7 years old. But as we get older, he'd say, hey, here's why we're doing what we're doing. And I think that's good. It's good for teenagers to hear that. It's good for young people to hear that. This is exactly why we're doing what we're doing. And to help them with that. But somebody's got to make those decisions. A child should not be left to himself. It's amazing what we'll do when it comes to spiritual things. I'm doing the best I can, and he's doing a great job. My oldest, Josiah, has learned how to drive. All right? How many of y'all have experienced teaching your children how to drive behind the wheel, and you've gone through that? It's a wonderful time of family bonding, right? And you get that time together, and he's doing a great job with it. But, you know, I've thought about that. We don't say, hey, Josiah, boy, you just turned 16. I know we haven't gotten behind the wheel at all, but you did look at the book a couple times. Hey, could you go to the store and pick up something for me? I know you've never driven before. Hey, here's the keys. You know, figure it out for yourself. And yet we come to spiritual things. It's like, well, you know, you're old enough, you're 16, just make all your own decisions on that. No. Hey, you know what they need? They need training. That's what they need. They need training. They need teaching in that. We need to guide them in that and to help them in that. And then there is time. Hey, you get the training, and then you begin to drive by yourself a little bit. All right? And you're going to do a little better with that and hopefully get more experience and get better. But if we don't just turn them loose on society, at least I hope we don't. And same thing when it comes to spiritual things. Hey, a child left to himself to make his own decisions. We grew up in a home. We knew we were going to Bible college from the time we were in elementary school, probably before that. Now, there was never a time where mom and dad sat us down and said, listen, no, we just knew. Hey, expect that of your children. Hey, expect what they're going to do. Hey, here's what we're going to do. We get and make sure, hey, in Christian homes, and you know, sometimes we try to, and understand, listen, I'm not, we try to qualify all this, and everybody's going to go to college. I understand all those things. But also understand this, we need more young people that are coming out of Christian homes that are going to Bible college, going to do something for God with their life. We need more of that. Because it's not coming from the world. So if it's not coming from the church, where's it coming from? And so there should be an expectation. Hey, just understand, here's what the next step is. You know, I think a couple of scriptures and we're done. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. I think one of the things as we look at and talking especially to our young mothers today, but to some of our older mothers, my generation, the generation ahead of me. Look at Titus chapter 2, and I'm afraid we've lost a little bit of this. Titus chapter 2. Look at verse number 3. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior, as becometh holiness. Not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. These older women, why do they need to be holy? Why do they need to be right example? Why do they need to be teachers? Verse 4, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. I'm afraid that we have some older women who have not taught the younger women how to be keepers at home, how to love their husbands, love their children. Oh, yeah, look, go ahead and have that career. Hey, you know what the older women should be doing? Teaching the young women how to stay at home and take care of their husband and take care of their children. And that's what should be doing. That's what should be happening. And I'm afraid we got some older women who said, no, just put off to having children and don't worry about having children. No, if God gives you an opportunity, every life that God gives is a blessing. And you should take advantage of that. And the Bible tells us to be fruitful and multiply. And to rear those children for the honor and for the glory of God. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. You know, we'll talk about it. And this is so true. In our world today, I can't understand why any mother, the ultimate betrayal, and Dad would say this for years, the ultimate betrayal of a mother would be aborting their child. I can't believe a mom would do that to their own child. The life that God gave them, that God put there. And God gave that to them, they do that. And so we'll say this, nobody speaks up for the unborn child. That's what we want to do. And speak up for that unborn child that doesn't have its own voice. But also this morning, I want to speak up for the child who's left to himself, who is born into a home and into a family, and then is left to themselves and left to the daycares and left to the television and left to the phone and left to make their own decisions instead of having mom there with them, because they can't always speak up either. Look what God did in 1 Timothy chapter 2. And it's interesting, God sets up the what he gave us, the roles that he gave us in the home, and mentions a couple things. Why? Verse number, and really in the church as well, verse number, let's go to verse 12, 1 Timothy 2. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. And so he says in the church, all right, we don't have women preachers in the church, and this is one of the verses why. All right, another verse you go later on in 1 Timothy, and 2 Timothy, 1 Timothy, Titus as well, it says that they need to be a husband of one wife. And, you know, we could talk about husbands, and we all knew that it was a man was a husband. All right, in our day and age, it's just gotten a little crazy. But still, husband of one wife is husband of one wife, and that's a qualification for somebody that's a preacher. But it gives a couple reasons here why. Verse 13, for Adam was first formed, and Eve said, first of all, the first reason is because Adam was made first. Adam was created first, male and female created them. And it gives a second reason in verse number 14, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. And so it goes back to the Garden of Eden when Eve was the one deceived, when Satan went after Eve, and Eve was deceived and Eve sinned. But then Adam was not deceived, but what happened to Adam? Well, he saw that Eve did it, and so he, knowing exactly what he was doing, and that's why Adam caused the fall of man, Adam went deliberately and sinned knowing what he was doing. Eve was deceived. But God says, because of that, because Adam was first born, because Eve was deceived, then the woman is not to teach in the church, and the man has the authority over that. But look at verse 15. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. You know, we read that verse and that saved in childbearing, and we know, of course, the pain that comes in childbearing. And I do believe, as the husband and wife are right with God, that you can be a help. But that's not the main purpose of what it's saying here. It says to be saved in childbearing. What that really means is this, and I heard this again this week, that we talk about something, you know, somebody, the saving grace of something. Man, that's the thing they have. For a mother, you know what you get to do that nobody else gets to do? You get to bring that life into the world. I can't do that. We talk about, boy, you know, women can do anything men can do. Well, they can't. And men can do anything. Well, they can't. I can't bear children. All right? I can't. Women, you get to do that. And as a mother, you get to bring that. That's one of those things that I can't imagine having that life inside of you, knowing that's a life that God has given you inside of you. And you're the sustainer of that life. And God's given you that opportunity. And then you get to be the one that brings that child into existence there, and to have that child that came out of your body that you get to rear. And and what society looks at and says, well, you just want to hold women down. No, and the greatest thing in the world is to be able to have a child as a mother does and to rear that child for God. Man, what influence you have. Man, what you can do. And it says here in the church, sure, the men are going to teach, but you know what the women can do? They're the ones that are going to rear the ones that teach. They're the ones that are going to influence those. My dad would never have the ministry he had if it hadn't been for a mother that loved him and cared for him and stayed home with him. And I'm telling you, had every excuse to go away from God. Had an alcoholic husband who didn't always treat her right. And yet she stayed faithful. And because of that, produced a preacher that preached here for 40-some years. Hey, what an influence. Hey, all those other ones, and back then, yeah, there wasn't as many of the career. All those that had a career didn't do anything for God like she did. And the influence she had on this place. Hey, on here, on you, on me. Because of the decisions that she made. No, it's not something where, oh, you're just trying to, well, these women can't accomplish. I'm not worried about what a woman can accomplish in the world and how smart she is. And I wonder, sure, she can do all this, whatever. But that's not nearly as important as what she can do for God and taking those children and staying home with them and rearing them for the glory of Almighty God. That's what's going to be important. And that's what we've lost in our society. And unfortunately lost in our churches, because too many children are left to themselves. And what does the Bible say? A child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Now, I'm so thankful that we've had a lot of mothers here that say, you know what, and by the way, Dad would say this all the time, listen, it's not this morning. You say, well, I don't want to do that. It may take some time to get there. Doesn't mean it's going to happen tomorrow. But decide right now. Hey, some of you don't have children yet. Young couple, or maybe young man, young lady, and you're hoping to get married someday, all right? We'll make that decision now. I tell you one thing. When we have children, I want to make sure they're not left to themselves. Hey, God's given us an opportunity. Man, what a wonderful opportunity on Mother's Day for mothers to rear these children, to make sure they're saved. Man, this morning, if you've never been saved, never trusted Christ as Savior, make sure you know you're going to heaven. But to get them in the house of God and to teach them what's right, so that we can have a generation that grows up to do more for God. And don't we need that? Don't we need some children to grow up and do something for God because we got mom that said, I'm going to stay home? Yeah, I could go out in the world and I could accomplish all those things. And you know, my wife is, I know this is a real shock to you. She's a lot smarter than I am, all right? A lot prettier than I am. That's a shock to you too, all right? A lot prettier than I am. A lot of talent that she has, a lot of things she could do. But there's nothing else more important to me than the fact that she said, I'm going to stay home and take care of our children. Hey, what's more important than that? Father, I pray that you bless us. Bless our mothers, Lord. Thank you for them. Thank you for the mothers in this place. Lord, I pray, first of all, this
message, Lord, not a salvation message, but someone here's not saved, Lord. Help them to understand their need for you. Lord, the world doesn't understand this message. Well, this is to them as an oppressive or sexist message, and they don't understand the truth of the Word of God. And Lord, there's in no way does it demean women to have them at home with their children. It elevates them. Or it elevates them to the influence they can have on a life, on the lives you've given them, on what you've given them to do. Lord, I pray that we take that seriously. And Lord, there's a responsibility we all have, Lord, that we have as husbands and as fathers. But Lord, today's Mother's Day. And so help us to see you work in our hearts and our lives, to be thankful for those mothers you've given to us, and to try to be the best examples that we can for those that come after us, Lord, in Jesus' name. If everybody's standing with head bowed and eyes closed this morning, nobody looking around. And again, this morning is not a salvation message, but I don't want you to come in this morning and not know for sure you're going to heaven. Jesus Christ died to pay for your sins. Doesn't matter if you're mother, father, sister, brother, daughter, son, whatever it is you are, God died to pay for you to go to heaven. And this morning, you're not saved because your mom saved, or your grandma saved, or your dad saved, or no. If you're saved, you're saved because you've accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. If you're here this morning, you say this. You say, I know for sure I'm on my way to heaven. If I was to die today, I know I'd wake up in heaven. I'm confident and I'm secure in that. Not because I'm a good person, because Jesus Christ paid for my sins and I've accepted Him as my Savior. If you can say that this morning, just put your hand up like I'm going to say, I know I'm saved this morning. I'm on my way to heaven. You can put your hand right back down. And thank God for that. If you're here this morning, you say this. You say, I'm just not sure about my salvation. Again, we didn't spend a lot of time with this morning, but I don't want you to leave here without knowing that. You say, I'm just not sure about my salvation. If you're like that this morning, I want you to do this. I'm not going to embarrass you at all. I promise you that. I won't go to you. I won't say anything at all. But I want you to be honest with God. You say, I'm just not sure I'm saved. Just not sure I'm going to heaven. I want to pray for you. If you just slip here and say, just pray for me. I'm just not sure about my salvation. Hey, this morning, Mom, make home a priority. Hey, Dad, make sure you're doing all you can to help Mom make home a priority. Hey, young parents, young couples, make some decisions. Young people, hey, this is what I'm going to do in my home. Let God work. We don't need any more children left to themselves. As the music plays this morning, as the Lord spoke to you, you come forward. Thank you. thanks again for being here on Mother's Day, and have a great afternoon. Are we doing any choir practices at all? All right, so no choir practice. So just be back here at 6 o'clock for the service tonight, and so have a great time with Mom this afternoon. And just so thankful for you being here. Those who are visiting, great to have you in. And listen, if you haven't been here before, come back next Sunday, and I'll be nicer next Sunday. All right. But listen, here's what our world needs. What you don't get from the world is this: you don't get truth. And we want to preach the truth of the Word of God. That's what we're trying to do. And it's not always easy, but we do want to preach the truth and give you the truth of God's Word. And that's what we're trying to do here. And thank God for the examples we've had that have set that before us. So anyway, enjoy that this week. Father, I pray that you bless us. Give us a great, great week. And thank you for our mothers. Lord, I do pray for each family here today. Give them a great Mother's Day. And Lord, just bless us in Jesus' name. Amen.